Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lauren, and this week, Ryan and Parham 2, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I'm also the GM for Valiant, and I write the Monsters Physique blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren, and I've been playing RPGs for almost 20 years. I write the Bend the Knee blog here on No Direction, and you can also watch me play in the Adventurous and Three Ring Adventure podcasts. And this week, Legend Lore is talking about Legend Lore. Happy anniversary to us, Luis.
Yay, we did it. As of the time that we're recording, our anniversary was 2 days ago, so I don't think it's too bad to be 2 days belated. But yes, happy 1 year of being legendary, Lauren.
And we have with us today two very special guests who I am just pleased as punch to have on the show with us. Please, guests, introduce yourself.
I'm Ryan. I'm the Director of Logistics at the No Direction Network and a creative lead at Laughing Dragon Studios, and I write the Recall Knowledge blog for the No Direction Network and star in the Adventurous Actual Play podcast.
And I'm Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham. I'm the Director of Operations here at No Direction. I am also the co-host for the No Direction podcast, and I play Glanville on Adventurous.
I forgot to mention, I'm also a co-host of No Direction, our flagship podcast.
the flagship podcast, the thing that started this.
It's important to know, because there might be Legend Lore only listeners that are catching this.
They're like, who are these guys?
Yeah. So, you know, and this reminds me, you guys both have this fancy title, a director of something. I need a title. I needed to be a director of something.
You are board member. That's your title.
I could be director of chaos.
I don't think you understand what director means.
Oh, I do.
More like bringer of chaos.
All right, so how's this gonna work?
Well, I figured, so my plan here was to gather Ryan and Parham with us to have like a, I guess almost a debrief on year one of Legend Lore, to get a feel for like, how's the show going? What do you like about the show? What don't you like about the show? And mostly just to kind of hang around and chat for a little bit. Okay. Because I thought it'd be more fun to celebrate the show at our one-year anniversary than it would to be just release our next episode and talk about the Sorcerer and gloss over the one-year anniversary.
We usually don't broadcast employee performance reviews, but if that's what you're going for.
I was like, it's progress report. No, but what's progress report at work? Yes. Performance review.
I think that I can wing an intro for us then. I think I have an idea for an
intro. A second intro?
Well, I mean like, you know, an actual like intro.
Go on.
Let me try. Let me see what I got, and we can throw it away if we don't need it. Mm-hmm. So, Ryan, Parham. When you guys first pitched this show to me, like a year ago, it was, hey, do you want to co-host a podcast with Luis? And by want to, I mean I was a little bit voluntold to do this.
Absolutely.
I hadn't been on a podcast other than the playing it in such a long time. And even when I had just done like one or two. I was very nervous. I barely worked with Luis. How did you envision this show going? What was the big picture here when you decided to bring this to me and Luis?
Well, I expected more chaos. A lot. I did not expect this to be as organized and topically focused. And this thing you all use, like a script, I'm not sure what those are, but evidently you all prepare them. It's interesting.
Well, I mean, they're more show notes anymore than scripts. It used to be more scripts back in the day, but I think Lauren has gotten more comfortable with kind of winging most of her answers or what she says.
I might be extremely chaotic, but that hides the fact that I am overprepared for everything.
You have to deal with your own chaos.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And in the very beginning, that's how I dealt with it, is I had a very precise script, and I'd go off script, of course, because you have to do that. You have to keep it fun. But no, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew how I wanted to say it. And as I've gotten more comfortable behind the microphone and working with and off of Luis, it gets a little bit easier to say, okay, at this point we're going to talk about class features and just go with it from there.
So the origin of Legend Lore is just John Godek came to us with Digital Divination. He's like, hey, me and Ron Lundeen always talk Starfinder. What if we did a Starfinder talk show? And I was like, that's good, but it's asymmetrical. We need a Pathfinder talk show to match it. And so if it's going to be Ron Lundeen, Paizo employee and developer, and John, passionate fan, we need a Ron Lundeen-shaped Pathfinder host and a John-shaped Pathfinder host.
I am definitely not Ron Lundeen-shaped.
As far as the Pathfinder host yes, shape. Yes, I
know. Right. I mean, at the time, Luis, you were stepping up, wanting to, like, do more things and showing a lot of initiative mm-hmm. and being all professional and creative and impressing the hell out of us. And, Lauren, you are the definition of passionate fan. So it was like an idea to completion to pitch to recruitment over the span of a half hour?
Something like that. Because one of the things, like, John now has several Paizo credits, but at the time it was... We want somebody that doesn't have Paizo writing credits, because that's the reflection of John.
Then you picked the wrong person. Lauren has writing credits.
Just a few, though. Just a few, yeah.
Do you? Are they published?
You've known this. Yes, published. You've known this.
Remind me.
I wrote for Owen for a little bit. I did some player companion, and I did a ton of legendary content.
I don't know if I own anything that I knew you wrote.
Yeah, so I'll give you a neat anecdote that I don't think would ever come out in the show, but I wrote a monster for Pathfinder First Edition that was based off of one of my earliest hallucinations that I had in life. It was something that, like, I had just had this terrible vision of, and for my entire life I've never been able to forget it, and I think about it sometimes, it still scares me. So I wrote that as a monster. As part of a monster contest. And I ended up losing the contest, and I disagreed with why I lost it and with what won. So I took that exact same stat block and everything. I turned it around to Legendary Games. I said, hey, how do you like this? And they're like, we love it. Let's publish it. So I didn't win the contest, but I kind of won anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that's a... Yeah, I've got a picture that I can share it with people too. It's a really cool monster. It's called the Horzatoth. It's not an aberration, but it does hail from like a cosmic fey realm, and it comes in. It pulls the nightmares out of children and then eats them. And if the
children are the nightmares,
no, it pulls the nightmares out of the children and it eats the nightmares. It doesn't eat the children.
You got to get the nightmares out so they're extra sweet.
Yeah, well, and if some plucky adventurer sneaks up on them, they'll use those nightmares to fight them.
Is there a sidebar that says some of them have a taste for human flesh?
No, there's not. But there is a sidebar that says sometimes they'll kidnap the children so they have an easy source of nightmares. And I had the neatest mechanic. They had like a summon monster situation for the nightmares, but... What they would do is the nightmares would the level of the summon would be based off the level of the target. So if they pulled the summon nightmares out of a high level PC, they'd be fighting a high level nightmare. I thought that was really cute.
It's clever. I like this whole concept. I'm just curious, where did you come into it? Did you picture something stealing your nightmares?
No. So what happened for me is it was a dark and stormy night, and I just, like, you know, saw it coming out of, like, a room on the other side of the house. And then I was very young. I ran upstairs, and that was the last I saw of it. But that image is what inspired me. You have to imagine, like, a pile of rags hoisted up off the ground, okay? Vaguely with the shape of a hood kind of indented in it, and through that is a large horse skull, and one eye is green behind the horse skull, and it's got long spindly arms that are kind of like praying mantis shaped, but they are, you know, like flesh, and they end in long knives that are like almost the length of the monster. Yeah, it's awful.
That's a big nope. Big nope.
Yeah, I'll show you the picture sometimes. It's fantastic. It's called the Horzatoth.
You know, that's not necessary.
Yeah, it's good.
I'd like to sleep sometime this week.
You'll sleep soundly when it steals your nightmares.
So that's a little aside about me, but not about legend lore.
Right. Well, so the point I was making is that we actually narrowed the pool down very much when we said we needed somebody that didn't have a lot of Paizo writing credits. And so your name was on the list, and it was like, well, Lauren is enthusiastic. She definitely loves second edition. She's great on the mic. We know that from her actual plays, but she never actually did anything topical. So this would be really cool if she's interested, but it was completely optional. And if she said no, we would respect that. And so there, Lauren.
I was preparing to go to graduate school. And I remember telling you this, Brian. I said, I already have too much on my plate. I doubt I'll have the time when I get to graduate school. And somehow, I was like, all right, Ryan, I'll give it a try, but no promises.
Do I need to check the receipts? Do I need to go in and be like, how much did I say anything after she said no? Or if you even implied a no.
I didn't say no, but yeah. I did.
Okay. Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, if you knew how to say no, we wouldn't be here.
Oh, I don't know. That's something Ryan's given me praise before for being able to say, I don't have time to do this.
Absolutely. You make my job a lot easier when you say no.
Also harder because you do a lot of my work now, like on Bend the Knee.
Yes, and I kind of messed up today's Bend the Knee because I accidentally sent the same prompt 2 weeks or two groups in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still your writing. I'm just taking your old Bend the Knees and we're sending it to a new type of guest in that now we're sending it to a lot of actual play casts and doing a single cast answers one question. So it's still your words. It's just my logistics. And you know what? Director of logistics. So I am perfectly happy with that.
But this isn't the Legend Lore Lauren Hour. Luis, what was your experience like? What were you thinking when this was pitched to you?
I think I was in the midst of trying to wrangle Valiant together. So how kind of Ryan to come and be like, do a different show before that happens. No, I thought it was just fine. I think it's funny that like our approach like from the get-go was very like methodical. Like, all right, we're here to answer the questions. We're here to, you know, be the experts and whatnot, which ended up creating a show that's completely different from what Ron and John have, which is much more casual, because we're just here to do the business. We don't need to chat and catch up or anything. We're ready to go.
But we do have fun while we're doing the business.
Oh yes, absolutely. But I think it's funny how that ended up when it was meant to be like, oh, this is a counterpart to. It's just the Pathfinder version of what this other show is going to be, right? Nope, it's its own thing. We're our own thing. But for the most part, I think it was nice at the time as well because I was like, I'm going to try to figure out how to edit things for Valiant. And this is the perfect, I mean, like, if I was going to mess something up, at least it wasn't going to be messed up on Valiant. I'm going to mess it up on Legend Lore for the first few episodes and then, you know, get all that training under my belt. So that was cool. I don't know. I've had no complaints this whole time.
So that was a dangling thread when it was like, okay, we have this format that we want to replicate as Pathfinder, but we knew John was doing the editing and that was going to be the biggest ask of figuring out who was going to produce and edit the show. And when you presented that, like, you know what, I want to get better at audio editing, I was like, perfect! The biggest hurdle got kicked over out of the way.
That was definitely a skill I wasn't willing to devote the time to learning.
Yeah, I think me and Ryan were both like eagerly staring at each other, ready to scream, not it.
Mm-hmm. And then I've in the process of like editing this in Valiant, have learned lots of different places that have cool sources and sound effects and music that I can use without having to pay anything, which is nice. Licensing stuff isn't super expensive, but like it will add up if I had to deal with it. So being able to like pay once for the like the theme song for the show and then just reuse that and all that stuff, it's been great. I've also learned better editing techniques as time goes by. Will you believe that it took me about 2/3 of the year in to realize, oh, when I'm editing, I can just speed up the playback speed and not have to listen to the whole show at full speed, and then just like trim it when there's problems. I don't do that with Valiant, but with Legend Lore, when there's only two tracks to deal with, it's like, that's perfect. I don't want to have to sit, not that I'd minded sitting here, but like, if I don't have to sit here for the whole 45 minutes or whatever, why not speed that up a bit?
That is a good tip, because with Adventurous, there's like basically two or three run-throughs where it's like, all right, I got to edit the audio, and now that it's all in good position, I've got to quickly go through the audio to line up soundtrack so that, you know, a combat starts, I want to change the tone of the background music. And I just jump around trying to find something that I remember happening right before the combat. But yeah, if I just listened to us at 1.5 speed, I could just re-listen to the episode and I'd be able to polish it while I'm also listening for those music cues. So, Luis, you've taught me something.
Look at this. Yay. You're still learning from Legend Lore.
So since you brought up that John and Ron have a more casual style, they just had their one-year anniversary episode. Mm-hmm. And they sounded kind of self-conscious about, like, it seemed like they were comparing themselves to you and feeling a little bit bad about it. So I just want to say that casual style is a strength of that show, and your more formal style is the strength of your show. Like, both of them work for the type of show that we're producing because you're both following your instincts. And so I enjoyed listening to Ron and John spend 10 minutes of their 40 minutes talking about just camping trips and John's surgeries and stuff, because I really feel like I'm getting to know them. Whereas you two really, like, this is the topic, and you hit the ground running, and you go through the topic, you cover it from all angles.
Right. I love car talk, but with spaceships.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to ask you. That's a deep cut, right? Like, my first thought when I was like, okay, I'm going to have to be a co-host. What kind of tone do I want to take? What kind of tone am I hoping the show will take? My biggest inspiration was car talk. And now I'm hearing that we didn't hit car talk. The other guys hit car talk. We're kind of doing our own thing. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, they also say that their inspiration was car talk, so I don't know how deep of a cut it is. I might be the only person that doesn't listen to car talk.
Oh my God, I miss it so much. I was never even into cars. I just liked listening to those two.
I mean, I'm not surprised you didn't hear car talk, because I don't think NPR reaches all the way up to Canada. So.
Well, NPR releases everything as podcasts. I listen to a couple of NPR podcasts.
Well, go listen to some car talk. Maybe you'll learn something.
Maybe, but I really don't know anything about cars.
You don't have to, though. It's just the two guys are fun to listen to. They've got, yeah.
I got you two.
You got us. You got us. You got, I was trying to think of a real quick, nice little pun. You know, car or Pathfinder. I can't put it together. You got us.
If only there was a car called Pathfinder.
Oh, I get it. Oh, man, that's a shallow cut right there.
I mean, how much does, I mean, like, Luis is not allowed to answer or even try to answer, but can you just imagine how much cursing of SEO they have just because they chose this name?
I've even seen it, because also right around when Pathfinder First Edition came out, or maybe even just the Alpha, that Viking movie named Pathfinder came out, and that thing was in post-production limbo for years. And so, like, apparently I forget if this is a Jason Mona anecdote or Jason Bowman or an Eric Mona anecdote, but one of them was like, they were aware of that movie, but because it had taken so long to come out, they just figured it had been abandoned. And then, you know, the RPG comes out, and then this obscure movie comes out on this, like, DVD that just happens to be everywhere for whatever reason. Just as DVDs are dying, this one is the one you can find in absolutely any DVD bin in every single store that sells DVDs.
I've never even heard of that.
I own a copy. I've never watched it. I own a copy because it's called Pathfinder, and it has some significance for Pathfinder history.
Ryan, we'll do this, and we'll watch that movie together. Because you said it's a Viking movie, and I haven't seen it, so I have to watch that.
You know what? That actually sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I'll get some Coke and bourbon.
The Vikings invade North America, and that was a mistake.
Oh,
like modern North America.
No, like Viking Age North America.
Yeah. So now that the show's been on for a year, you've seen us go from our first episode to our most recent. And I almost want to redo the first episode, because we're talking about something so important. We're talking about character creation. And anytime you go back and you hear your first material, oh my God, I'm sure you guys know about this from No Direction Prime. It's almost, it's just so cringe. It's like, what were we doing?
Resist the urge to go back.
Why?
Because there's a forward momentum to podcasts. People will listen to that first episode again. Like, they could be a new listener, or they could be somebody that's listened to the most recent episode, want to hear all the way through, and they're like, wow, I noticed the difference. You see the evolution of the show and the audio and just you two as hosts. And so, yeah, okay, maybe you want another crack at the topic, but there's also that, like, second draftism where it's just, it's not as natural, it's a little more forced, because the motivation is not to cover the topic. The motivation is to improve how you covered the topic.
And you get your, you'll get yourself trapped in constantly trying to make everything better, and it's why we tell people in miniature painting not to go back and repaint their first minis, because you can lose yourself in constantly just redoing work and never doing anything new.
Think of how much people used to love George Lucas.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a shame, isn't it?
I mean, people liked the stormtrooper hitting his head on the door. Leave the memories alone.
Okay, so what's kind of been your feelings, you know, as you've watched the evolution of the show?
Well, one thing I used to do is help you with topics a lot more often. And then around the newer year, it was like, they haven't talked to me. Like, they know they're still doing this show, right? What's happening? So I poked you, and that's when I found out you had the idea for the 3-part series for new players, which ended up being some really fun episodes. And then you also came to me with the idea for the special. So, I think that you both have the momentum going, and you know which topics you can spend a whole episode on. You know which topics to choose and which ones would be of interest to the listeners. You made the right call to take a patron suggestion for a whole episode. That was, I believe, your last episode, or maybe the one before that.
The Hazards episode, yeah. That was such an interesting one to record, too. Because Hazards, it seems like no matter how much you go over them, they will always be a little bit difficult. So one of the literary devices that I remember and that I think about a lot when I'm making content of any kind is I think about Watson and Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was the expert, and it was not the job of the reader to immerse in Sherlock Holmes. That's what Watson was there for. So I was Watson to the Sherlock Holmes that was Luis, guiding us through this path of hazards.
Well, in one way that's true, but also Watson was the straight man to Sherlock's wild comedy act. And this is the opposite in that case, where Luis is usually the straight-laced, like, good, obvious, like, responsible answer, and then you're like, no, there's one right way for this.
Well, you know, what's funny, Luis was just talking to me about this, weren't you?
Yeah. I Lauren didn't know the concept of a straight man in, like, a comedy duo until a few weeks ago when I explained it to her.
It's such an important and hard-to-do role.
And apparently we've been doing it this whole time.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to know more about how that conversation went.
Yeah, me too. I don't remember.
Luis, did you just call her a straight man? And she's like, what?
No, I think I mentioned being the straight man, and for most of the time, it's like, well, you can be the straight man for this one.
And I was like, what? Yeah, that's
how that went. Colin is just explaining the concept, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like the dynamic. It's a perfect dynamic. It's completely different than mine and Ryan's dynamic, where on a lot of the issues that you two differ, me and Ryan are usually like lockstep with each other, and then we disagree in different areas. But like where it comes to like Luis's like going back to like even the first episode where there's like the Lauren opens up real strong with, and the very best way to make a character is with this really deep concept and don't even worry about class or anything. And then Luis is like, actually, you know, you can have a thing you like about it. It might be the class. It might be how you play, and you might need, and that's a lot more than you need. There's no wrong way to make a character. And Lauren's like, this is the best way to do it.
Well, when we do disagree, it tends to be so from such a position of mutual respect, though. You know, Luis will say something completely opposite to what I'm thinking. I'm like, man, that's a good point. Almost every time. the only point that I still don't agree with is that you gotta let players start at level 2 in second edition. You gotta do it. You got it. Level one, you don't get that the ability to take a dedication. It's too central to characters.
Luis,
I'm with Luis on this.
Do you
want
to sum up your argument?
I mean, I'm fine with first level stuff. The only way you can get the first level experience is by playing first level, and there's something to it that nothing else ever has in the game. And I think it's a vital part of the experience. Remembering back, like, remember when we used to be first level and everything was absolute garbage and we hated it all and we're so glad that didn't happen anymore. Like, even just the crossing that threshold in the second level just opens up so much and gets people excited.
I think we could compromise. What if at first level you just said take a dedication?
You could do that.
That's not the experience. Getting that dedication is so important. It's such a big, obvious upgrade. It's the first step. And it's like, first level, to get to second level, it's like, how many games just do that the first session? It's not long. It's not hard. Like, first quest reward plus a couple of combats.
Yeah.
And halfway through a dungeon, you're second level.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. I got into positions.
Free Architect first level is not groundbreaking, Lauren.
Ryan, yeah. Be on my side here. I need one of you on my side here.
So I was really anti-first level in first edition. And a lot of that was the math didn't make sense. Because you're fighting a lot of small monsters in first level. And they get the bump to AC. And so it was really hard to actually hit the AC. And ACs were usually 16, 17 for first level monsters. But the chart in the back is saying, like, it should be 13. And the horse was the only first level or CR1 monster that actually had the right AC for first level. And so second edition is so much better at first level. It makes so much more sense. Yeah. It actually, the DCs line up to what it's supposed to be. So,
since I got all y'all against me. No, let me make one last
defense.
Keeping
in mind, this is not what the topic is, Lauren.
That's all right. Have you not listened to the show? One more defense, I'll let it go, all right? The only reason I feel this way, because it's not about the power, it's not about the math, it's about your character concept. Most of the time, and you all know it, when I make a character concept, it's not easy to fit into one class. Being able to just throw a second level dedication on it, hey, I'm a sorcerer, but I'm also kind of bardy. It just lets the character feel more alive than they can at first level when you can't do that.
Yes, I have definitely had some concept. Like, Singe the Fire Monkey is a druid monk build that when I played him at first level was, I think, just a druid. And the concept was not complete until second level. And this is, again, talking about first edition. So that does happen. But again, that free archetype optional rule that's printed in the Game Mastery Guide solves that problem. Most people think it's a solid optional rule, so solid it can just be a base rule.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Most people do. Dustin just wrote an article about how great it is.
And that completed concept is the only reason I advocate for the second level thing.
So I enjoy that rule so much that ever since the first it first got out there, the only times I haven't used it in a campaign are, one, for PFS, because you can't. It's not allowed. And secondly, is for my next upcoming PF2 campaign, but we're making Gestalt characters. So it kind of defeats that purpose.
Gestalt is so much fun. I've loved that ever since. I remember it being introduced in 3.5. If it was introduced earlier, don't murder me, anybody. I don't remember that. But I remember it in 3.5.
I don't know if it was 3.0 or 3.5, but it's definitely that era is when I learned about it.
Unearthed Arcana that had it, I think. Which was 3.5 book, I believe.
3.5, yes.
I always confuse it with Arcana Unearthed.
Which was a third-party publisher book, right?
But by Monty Cook, being pitched very much as, it might as well be first party.
I didn't know it wasn't first party. This whole time.
Unearthed Arcana is. Arcana Unearthed is not.
Oh, I see.
And Arcana Unearthed came out first, so.
There was also a line of third-party publishers, third-party books complete, but it was EAT instead of ETE, whereas the first-party ones were ETE, the proper way of spelling it.
People get very cheeky with their naming conventions. are there any topics that you feel are something we should still cover in the future? I mean, obviously, if and when we're like running dry from the topic, well, we can always go back to Ryan, of course. But like, you know, hey, I'd love to see X topic within the next year because I think that's an important thing.
Death.
We did death.
Death.
Death would be a good death. One.
Did you
did
do
we
death?
Not do death?
Yeah, I don't, we did. Did you do death?
Hold on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember originally when I was going to pitch death, you know, 2020 happened, and it's like, we need more cheerful topics.
I think we had this conversation, too.
Yeah, I thought death just never happened.
Episode 15 was death.
All right.
Yeah, when did we... That's funny.
And that was also the one where we had a sponsorship on it, so we got to talk about
that. I
gotta say,
I think the death episode was one of our better ones. The rules are pretty complicated, but I feel like we went through them in such a way that they weren't too much. I think they were good.
All right. Well, I can tell you I'd listen to the episode. The fact that I've forgotten, don't take it personally.
So when you wrap, okay, this is going to take a while because y'all keep releasing more classes for this game. Lauren.
Yeah, how dare you.
So new classes keep coming out for this game, but like, what I really want to see when like it becomes a little bit less easy to just put together character focused ones is like, let's do a genre theme. Like, how do you make and run a game for this sort of genre? Like, we want to run a heist campaign. What does that look like? We want to run the Viking campaign. What does that look like?
Do you even understand how much fun I would have making those episodes? Oh my god.
Do you have any idea how much I want to listen to you two specifically doing this? I mean, given Valiant's existence and then your rants on character concepts, I want to see what those two brains make.
Well, it's official. We'll have to do that. Maybe as a mini series, maybe as an ongoing series. Who knows?
So right now, I'm just going down the list of possible topics that we've already got set up, and I realize it's actually quite out of date. I haven't done anything in 2021 on this list, so I'm updating it.
You haven't
it right
needed
now.
To.
Exactly.
I'm glad.
You haven't needed to.
Yeah, that's very nice. is it worth keeping the Batman test going once
we
get
past
the Batman test
that.
And the Viking test are important. I like them.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanna do one. I'm gonna do an errata for the Druid episode real quick. Because only afterwards did I realize that this was a thing. Hey, how is Batman like a Druid? And that was a very weak answer. But remember in Batman Year One and in Batman Begins, he does the cool thing where he summons swarms of bats to help him escape from the police?
Yep.
That's how Batman's like a Druid. There. Solved.
He also has a talking dog that levels up with him.
I didn't mention Ace the Bat Dog,
but mm-hmm. I feel like Lauren was not very satisfied with my answer. So.
Well, I guess if you combine it all, Ace the Bat Dog could be handle animal, could be animal training, or just like a skill feat. But that combined with being able to release a bunch of bats, that speaks to a presence in the natural world. And so that's getting to be pretty druidic.
He has a Robin companion.
Thanks.
Yeah, but that one leads more to the fact that it's bought with feats because he just keeps replacing it.
That's true.
That's better for a ranger, I feel. Yeah. Dedicated companion.
Well, he's definitely got the urban druid because he does the glide step thing from shadow to shadow.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, he's for sure an urban druid. Well, since you guys asked, since you twisted my leg, I'd say that a Viking is like a druid. if you got the one shaman who like lives in the woods and they throw the bones and like nobody sees them, but like the Jarl will go to that shaman for like insights about if the next raiding season will be profitable. That's a druid, man. That is a classic druid.
Lauren, did you the Viking test for the druid, didn't you?
Did I?
I feel like that's around when it started.
When did we start the Viking test?
I don't know.
Yes, that's literally the start of the Viking test.
Oh! Is that the description I went with? I bet it is. Because it's just so classic. I should go back and I should do how are these classes like a Viking for all of them.
Right.
I should.
You got Champion.
Oh, that's easy.
All right. Easy. Go for it then.
A Champion is at the front of the raid, like wielding the power of Thor to just smash the Saxons into the coast. Like, what are you talking about? Champion's made for Vikings.
Bard.
Skald. Next.
Alchemist.
Okay. Now, Alchemist is a good one, okay? Because you have to kind of shift it a little bit. When we think about and you can do it in the rules. When you think about Alchemist, you think about brewing and chemistry and stuff. But we can do that. But what if we shift it more to, like, the Viking, the shipbuilder, you know? A guy who has to know, like, has to come up with these ideas for longships, you know? The guy who crafts that kind of stuff. I bet that, you know, that person might also know how to throw some bombs.
I'm pretty sure you whoever made mead is going to definitely be, like, the best alchemist ever.
That is what I thought you were going to go with the brewmaster, not the shipwright.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, though. Vikings are very versatile. Both of those would make good alchemists.
Wizard.
Okay. Wizard's a little bit tougher, but I have prepared for this. I do have... The thing about with Wizard in particular, you have to hit a few themes, okay? A wizard is about books and knowledge, okay? When the Vikings first started recording their tales, okay, these were scholars who were going to these different Nordic cultures and getting those stories and writing them down. And then they would go and they would share them, and that would be a knowledge. So... this could be more of a wizard bard, but it still has a lot of wizard to it. Anytime you're taking something from the real world and applying a wizard to it, you have to hit the element of book learning.
Well, there's a whole lot of Viking culture and mythology that supports the wizard. I mean, Odin's quest for magic and wisdom is, like, clearly what wizards do. Like, we're going to go do this. We're going to make some sacrifices. We're going to learn some stuff that ain't supposed to be learned, and I'm not going to come out the other side of this the same as I went into it.
Yeah, maybe it's that wizards are uncommon as Vikings, but Odin's definitely a good example of at least a wizard dedication.
Well, there's three more class features that you have not covered yet with the Viking test. Barbarian, Rogue, and Fighter.
Oh. Okay. So those are too easy, right?
Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Yeah, those write themselves. Well,
you
good.
Give us a sneak preview of what you think a gunslinger might be like?
So this one's tough, but I do think I've got it. This is your Viking trader, okay? This is the Viking who goes to foreign lands and trades and gets foreign technology and brings it back and uses it in war.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. See?
Just remember that for, I don't know, a year and a half from now when we hit the gunslinger.
Yeah, right?
I guess it wouldn't be that far out. We're just about done with core, and it's only... 20 total classes that have been announced or are in the game so far. So,
are we going to get caught up?
But assuming there's no new classes after that, yes.
So
that's a weird assumption.
Yes. Well, I meant, you know, are they going to outpace us?
I think that you all have the ability to speculate and talk faster than they can develop.
That's probably true. Yeah, I can talk a lot.
Do you feel comfortable speculating?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's talk about what's happened so far. Every year there's been a bestiary, right? Mm-hmm. And assuming that Paizo decides to do something that is monster filled or something like that, most likely there won't be a class in that. They don't seem to be doing four classes in every book like they did with the APG. It seems like two is their limit. So feels like it'll be pretty easy to catch up, even if they continue to do classes in every other book other than a monster-related book. So,
right.
There you go.
Perfectly reasonable speculation with no awesome insight.
I Agree.
Part of me, I don't want to see it, but part of me kind of wants to see the internal and external chaos that would be if Paizo ever attempted to do an ACG again with 10 classes, especially for PF2, with how complicated the classes
are. That would absolutely ruin Ron and Patrick, because that's a heck of an adventure path volume.
Here's our 600-page classes. Oh, dang it, sorry.
All right, hold on. I think we all have to appreciate Luis's joke about the Adventure Path volume for the Advanced Class Guide. Went by a little quickly, but it was good.
I missed it. It flew by so fast, yeah. I missed it.
Well, you have to be there for the first printing. Otherwise, you're not even aware of what I'm talking about.
Well, I imagine more people have the first one than the second.
Yeah, probably.
So Ryan, Parham, you both have...
Lauren.
You both have watched Legend Lore begin... You've seen how it's unfolded, and now you've seen that we're kind of starting to take some directions, you know? We're making episodes about different wild things and one-shots and three-part adventures.
How do you expect it to all end?
Yeah, well, how do you expect it to, you know, what do you see going forward? What do you think?
I don't know. I see the continued...
Is that a bad question? Maybe it's a bad question. I'm just trying to come up with good questions in the moment.
I was just trying not to talk because somebody decided to rev their engine the minute the question got asked over here. No, I like the way you're going. I like that the topics are going to spread and get more. Like, you started off just as you needed to. You hit the obvious topics, and then you started to grow, and then you started to, you know, you hit the basics, the required material. Now that you're growing into your own, you're spreading out a little bit, taking experiments. I mean, you guys are definitely the successor to 3.5 Private Sanctuary right now. So... The topic type short duration episode, it's something that this network has really missed since that show ended its hiatus, and I definitely
ended.
Am glad ended.
It's not on hiatus. Know.
Well, it had a hiatus first and then ended.
Well.
So as ever since 3.5 Private Sanctuaries ended, it's definitely, it was something networks missed. You all have absolutely filled that gap and then some. And I look forward to what's going on, and I want to see what happens when you all start talking about topics that, you know, aren't as obvious. Like, you all have already started to spread out and find your own way. And when Ryan came to me about the pitch about the three-part series and the special, I was like, that's a fantastic idea. So I'm definitely glad to see it. And I just want you all to keep growing as you see this needs to go. Me and Ryan trust you to do this. I mean, there's a reason we picked you two to do it.
It's because we fit all the exact little check boxes to make a good.
You're the best John two people we could find in a half hour's notice.
I hope that would still be true. The best two you could find in a half hour's notice.
Well, when you have it perfect the first time, why do you even go looking further?
Yeah, I mean, said yes.
What more do you need?
I want to bring up two things real quick. One, the one-shot thing. We never took the time to sort it out, but I was hoping it's like, oh, well, maybe we can use that to fill in spots in Legend Lore's schedule. Like, oh, the next two or three episodes are just going to be this one-shot. So then we can be lazy for a little bit. Then you stole them for the slot on Monday.
Yeah, to fill in for the Stellar slot. I thought we'd had that conversation, though.
I don't think we ever did, and it's fine that it ended up like it did.
Do I need to check the receipts?
It seems like I don't care at all. Especially because it seems like you're getting, like, 8 episodes worth out of 2 recordings.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with if it's just one more episode that's just here's a bunch of separate conversations strung one after the other, or if I should release them.
But the other thing is that I'm very happy to be doing this show because I remember very early on when I first started listening to No Direction, No Direction still had no questions, and there would be times when it seems like you two would be stumped or not necessarily feel fully confident about your answers for questions, because Pathfinder 1E had definitely some corner cases all over the place, to put it lightly. And I'm like, oh, well, now that I'm part of the network, which was, you know, very early on, if I get to be on an episode, maybe there'll be no questions and I can help answer and I'll be excited to do that. And they never did no questions again once I, like, joined with the network. So now I get to do it every other week here with Legend Lore, basically. Give me all your questions and I will get to help answer them, and I'm so excited to do that because I feel... I felt very confident about my 1E knowledge, and I feel much more confident about my 2E knowledge that I'm kind of a, you know, that guy, you know, that works at Paizo.
And when I was first brought on, Ryan, it was because you liked my blog where all I did was answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fortuitous that Luis and I got together for this project.
Especially because, and we talked about this on the Christmas episode, you two barely interacted before you became co-hosts of a show that's been going on for a year now.
I said hi at Gen Con to Luis. That was
we
about
had
it.
Very good interactions at Gen Con, I feel.
I thought so. But, I thought you were cool.
But I think Lauren ended up chatting with my wife more than she did with me.
Well, I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah. Let's just say she's no straight man.
That's right.
Great. I love it.
Do you two find your life outside the podcast has changed now that you're doing a regular podcast? Do you think differently? Do you talk differently?
I have noticed I use ums a lot less. Even just from the start of the show to, you know, editing recordings more recently, I have a lot less I need to do now because I've gotten that fixed a little bit. There's still plenty of that, but it helps with the editing, and it means I sound much nicer when I'm doing shows and stuff for Paizo or streams or interviews and stuff like that.
As a grad student, I'm listening to presentations and giving presentations all the time, and it has made listening to them much more difficult, and it has made and it has made giving presentations receive much more accolades, I'd say. When I gave my research pitch to my committee meeting, or to my committee, they were not expecting it to be that good. Even my advisor was like, Lauren, you're so casual at lab meetings. I really didn't know what to expect going into this, but that was fantastic. Everyone was so impressed. I was like, well, thank you.
We just don't understand why you kept bringing up Vikings.
So when you need to do your next dissertation, Luis, you got it covered.
I guess so.
No, I do say that your presence when you're guesting and when you're on other content, since you've started doing the two shows, you have much more of an established presence. You assert yourself into the content more, and that has been appreciated.
I feel so much more confident than the very first time I was on No Direction helping review Villain Codex. Partially just because I was like, I'm nervous and stuff, and also because Alex is kind of a big personality, and I felt like, oh, well, it's hard to get in a word in edgewise, but nowadays, well, it felt like that to me at the time when I'm, you know, baby podcaster.
No, sorry, that face I just made was, I don't remember that episode at all. We had you and Alex on to review Villain Codex.
Yeah, we did Villain Codex, and Alex, like, talked, like, had managed to bring up points and, like, add to the conversation about two or three times as much as I was doing so, and I felt very silly at the end of it, but I feel much better now, and I'm very happy to say that, you know, my confidence with, like, speaking and doing interviews and stuff is thanks to being on the network, and now even more so for doing Legend Lore so regularly.
Because you have to speak up to get past me.
I mean, one of the best skills in podcasting is skillfully throwing elbows, like I just did now.
That's right, yeah. That's one thing I'm constantly thinking about, too, is how many elbows am I accidentally throwing? How much am I blocking Luis out? So every time we're going through this, I'm like, looking for a good place for me to shut up.
Well, I feel like we've talked enough about Legend Lore that we're probably good to call this episode done and say this fills up 30 minutes of airtime, right?
We're at about 50 minutes of recording.
Yeah, especially after
yes,
editing.
Okay,
well, we need a good outro.
I'm gonna leave this whole thing about trying to decide an outro and all that stuff.
But okay.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you so much, Param, for one, giving us this opportunity, I feel, and also trusting us so much. And then also coming on to chat with us about ourselves.
Well, thank you both for taking the ball and running with it. You both have completely earned that trust and showed that we were that we made the right choice in trusting you that way. Let me try and find a better way to say that sentence. Thank you both for proving that you deserved that trust.
I mean, it's the best measure of success is that you've managed to produce a cop podcast that I look forward to listening to.
And to you, dear listeners, thank you for listening to what we have to say. You are the reason that this is so much fun, and that every time Luis surprises me with a recording that we need to do in 15 minutes, I sprint to my office with a happy look on my face. Thank you, but that's all we have for you today. So make sure to check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network, because if you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection, because it's the support of our patrons that make this all possible.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore, and as always, it's been legendary.